Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been told that I might be a good candidate for that show that's been on TV called Total Fashion Makeover. And, you know, I'm sure it's right. You know, and I found in my office this book called Principles of Correct Dress. Copyright 1914, so I think I'm going to spend some time reading this book. Some of the titles in this book, it's pretty interesting. Some of the chapters are The Artistry of Dress. There's a chapter for Dress for Thin Women. 1914, right? For Blondes and Brunettes, I think this is a ladies' book. And, Correct Color Combinations. Attracting Attention. Dress and the Wearer. Tailor-Made Gowns. And so forth. But dress are books even on proper ways to dress. Kind of like a old form maybe of GQ magazine. You know, this evening though, we're taking a look at one of the stories Jesus told in Matthew chapter 22. This is really a neat parable. We're going to take a real close look at it tonight. If you have your own Bible, you might want to open up your Bible. If you have your pew Bible in front of you, please turn it to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to be using that translation of the Bible, the New International Version. So let's just jump then right into Matthew chapter 22. This chapter, you know, it ends up with this person who's not wearing the right clothes. And we're going to work toward that point in the parable as we proceed here this evening. But the parable begins, or the story begins, Matthew chapter 22. Jesus says, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused him." You know, one of the things that you really don't see here, just by looking at these three verses, is when Jesus was teaching this. And Jesus was actually teaching this on Tuesday of Holy Week. And another interesting point here is this is the third of Jesus' parables that he's teaching in this one sitting. And what's really unique is the parable Jesus just taught before this one, it has another, there's a son in that parable too, but in that parable the son gets killed. In this parable, it starts out the son's alive. I believe when Jesus taught these parables on this Tuesday of Holy Week, he was already looking forward to Good Friday when he would die. And this is where it all goes over his disciples' heads. He is also pointing at Easter. The son's alive again in this parable. You see, it says, Jesus tells this parable here. As we read through this, the king, in verse number 2 here, the king is God. The king represents God here. And now the son, the one who's going to get married, the bridegroom is Jesus. And we know that too without a doubt because in so many other places in Scripture, Jesus actually compares himself to a bridegroom. We see it in Jesus' teachings in like Matthew chapter 9, and we see it also in the visions that St. John had in the book of Revelation. Jesus is the bridegroom. We know in Scripture that Jesus teaches that, you know, when we get to heaven someday, there's not going to be marriage in heaven. You know, husbands and wives are something for here on earth. You know, when we get to heaven, we're all going to be married to Jesus. He's going to be the center, the focus of our attention. So in this parable, the king prepares his this wedding for his festivities for his son. Everything's ready. You know, and the invitations had already gone out. This is a cultural thing from Jesus' day. When a person was preparing a wedding, an important event, they would send out, just like we do today, save-the-date cards, but by messengers. The messengers would tell people, they'd build a guest list, and now the time for the wedding is actually going to take place, and the king sends out the messengers to say, okay, we're all set to have this big event. You folks were invited, you folks RSVP'd and said you'd be there. But in this case, the people who were invited, the people who had said that they would be there, ignored the messengers. They were no longer interested in going to the wedding of the king. Imagine the king's fury. As one invited guest goes out to his field, another invited guest goes about his daily business. Imagine the king's fury in this story as the people who were invited, these so-called friends who had been invited to the wedding, then some of them abused the messengers. And some of them even killed the king's messengers. In Jesus' parables, so many times the people and the events in the parable represent something very true, almost always. We already identified the king. We already identified the son who's going to get married. Now the people here who turned down the wedding invitation, who didn't come to the wedding, the people who ignored the messengers, abused the messengers, and even killed some of them, represent someone in real history. Throughout the days of the Old Testament, God would send his prophets to call to the people to trust in God, put God first in their lives. They would call out to God's people, the Israelites, saying, come to God, put God first in your life, turn away from the other things that you're involved in. And time after time after time, when the prophets would speak to the people would ignore the prophets, the people would abuse the prophets, and the prophets would be murdered. We see it in the case of Isaiah and Jeremiah, Malachi, and the list goes on till the last of the Old Testament prophets, which was John the Baptist, whose head ended up on a platter for Herod. Let's go back to the parable. Verse number 8. Then the king said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. After the Israelites turned their back on God's invitations and abused his prophets and killed his prophets, the message then goes out to everyone, to the nations. The king in this parable tells his messengers, go to anyone you can find, go to the street corners, bring in the good and the bad. And those people responded. And in the parable, the wedding hall was filled with guests. You could almost, you know, when I try to picture this in my head, and it, in some ways it looks kind of funny. You got this enormous wedding hall, beautifully decorated, the finest food set out from the king, and the wedding hall is filled with anybody and everybody. the street people, the criminals, the people in society that others don't want to deal with. And it's filled with this fascinating motley crew. But they accepted the invitation. They came to the son's wedding. Now that group of people who filled that wedding hall, we're in that group, aren't we? Aren't we? We don't deserve to be there. But our gracious God invites us. And through faith, we have received that invitation, and we have come to the son's wedding. We are in the wedding hall. We are guests of the King of God. Guests of God. Let's go on. Verse number 11. Let's get down to the clothing here. Verse number 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asks, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what does this mean? The king goes into the wedding hall. He hears the partying. He hears the music. He can smell the aroma of the food the food that was prepared. He could hear the sound of all the voices filling the wedding hall. He goes in to check out the party. And he notices someone who is not wearing wedding clothes. He throws the man out because he's not dressed appropriately. So the question that we all always come down to with this parable is, what do the wedding clothes represent? What are they? To find that answer, I think we're very safe to go to something Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, where he writes the words, everyone who is baptized into Christ Jesus has been clothed with Christ, with his righteousness. The wedding clothes represents Jesus and his righteousness. Don't the scriptures also say, doesn't Jesus say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Because we don't have our own. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you as well. Years ago, centuries ago, in studying this parable, commenting on this parable, Augustine had an insight. In Augustine's writings, he mentioned that in a case like this, it's likely that the king provided clothes for the guests to wear. You know, these people were invited from the streets. They weren't given a save the date card several months earlier. They didn't receive a message several months earlier saying, start making plans to come to the king's son's wedding. They were caught off guard. They were invited at the last minute. For them to be dressed appropriately for this wedding, as they came into the hall, it's likely the king had garments prepared for them, waiting for them. They arrived for the wedding. All they had to do was take the garments, toss them on, and they were ready to feast and party with the king. And so it is with us, isn't it? to be a part of God's party, God's festival. We can't wear our own righteousness. We don't have our own. But through faith, we can receive Christ's righteousness. And when we do that, when God looks at us, He doesn't see our filthy rags, the filthy rags of our lives, but He sees us clothed with Christ's righteousness. Another way which we need to look at this parable too, with that person who wasn't wearing the right robes, is answer the question, what are we doing with the gifts that God has given to us? God has blessed each and every one of us with different talents and gifts and abilities. Are we using them to give glory to God? Or are we neglecting them? One last thought about this man who wasn't wearing the right clothes tonight. Let's think about this a little bit and process this story that Jesus taught. The man who wasn't wearing the right clothes. I wonder how long he was at that party not wearing the right clothes, wasn't wearing wedding garments. You know, he was probably there for quite a while, wasn't he? Probably while he was sitting there, feasting and listening to the music, other guests would have come up to him and said, "Hey, what are you wearing? Why aren't you wearing wedding clothes?" Maybe one of those guests maybe nudged him and said, "Hey, take your wedding clothes, put them on. You're going to get in trouble." I would imagine that guest was there for some time, feasting, listening to the music, boasting and arrogant how he was able to be there in that wedding with all those festivities, not wearing the stuff everybody else has to wear, but wearing his own clothes. No matter how dirty or stinky they were, he was able to be part of the party. When we think down that path, think about that way that guest may have been taking advantage of the situation. He was delaying the inevitable, wasn't he? And isn't it that way with the way a person journeys through life sometimes? Just delaying the inevitable. No, a person doesn't go to hell all of a sudden, do they? But rather they slip into it, inch by inch, foot by foot. A person doesn't go to hell because of one big, huge, bad decision, do they? But as a result of a lifetime of refusing to put on Christ. During their time on this earth, they probably had several opportunities to put their trust in Jesus. Several times people had asked them, "You know, when your time's up here, where are you going to go?" Or how are you going to get there? Do you believe in a heaven or a hell? Or they were asked, "Do you believe in God? Do you know who Jesus is? And each of those times, they turned their back on that conversation, turned their back on God, delaying the inevitable. If and when the time were to come, and you were asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? What answer could you give to the King of Kings? Amen. Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious God, Lord, the parables of Jesus are rich in meaning for us, full of historical detail, but that just skims the surface. In these parables, Lord, are the deep truth of the importance of knowing Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. Lord, as we hear your precious word, bless us, Lord, with the gift of faith, that trust in you for salvation and every blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.